Okay, welcome to Ksubas Daf Ayin Hey, Ksubas Ayin Hey in Perek Hamadir. So we are in the middle of a discussion, actually we're in the middle of a conversation, which we did not finish yet. Yesterday on Amud Beis, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara asked a stira. The man is Mekadesh, a woman, on condition that she has no Nidarim, and then she has Nidarim, but after the marriage she goes to a Chacham and gets rid of the Nidarim, Hataras Nidarim. So do we say the marriage now works? Because it comes out that the Nidarim disappear, and at the time of the marriage, there was no Nidarim. So do we say that Mekudeshes, because we could view it as if the Nidarim were never there, or do we say, no, Eina Mekudeshes for some reason? Even though it comes out that she was Matar her Nidarim, still we would say that there's still a problem. So we ask the Stira in two brises. The first brise says, Mikudeshes. The second one says, Eina Mikudeshes. So what's the answer to that stira? So we're going to have two answers. We're in the middle of the first one. The first answer was that really it's a machlokas tanoim. Machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether a man cares if his wife is mispaza bebezdin. Rabbi Meir holds, we'll see in a minute, yesterday, Rabbi Meir holds that a man does not care. He's willing to have his wife be mispaza bebezdin, and therefore, Rabbi Meir says, if she has nadarim, but then after the marriage, she goes to bezdin and gets rid of the nadarim, then it's the nadarim totally disappear, and we say mekudeshes, because he's not makpid if she would go to bezdin. Masha enkein, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he seems to assume, Adam, ein Adam rotza, a person does not want that, and therefore there's an umdina, that a person would not want his wife to do that after the marriage. And even if she would do it, that was part of his condition, that she shouldn't have Nadarim that would make her have to go to the Bezdin after the marriage. So that's the Machlokas Tanam. We're just in the middle of that answer. We didn't know yesterday that there's a discussion of whether she could send the Shliach to be Matar her Nadarim. The Rishonim discussed whether you could prove anything from this Gemara about that issue. We paskin, you're allowed to. The question is, so then what's the issue of Bizui? That's what the Ritva spoke about yesterday. Okay, but we're in the middle of the discussion of where this issue of Adam Rotza Shetispaza or Lo Tispaza comes from. It comes from the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin, where the Mishnah says, if a man divorces his wife for various reasons, Chazal said in certain cases there's an Issa Rabbanan for him to take her back. Rabbi Yehuda says, we're going to start with the last line. The Mishnah quoted a few opinions. One opinion was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that if she ever takes a neder, if a man divorces his wife because of a neder that she took in public, Yadu bo rabim, so then, in that case, he's not allowed to take her back. Why? The Gemara explains, knas. So knas, she took such a serious neder, so then we're kones her, so that she could never remarry her husband. So let's explain that sheet. So my time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? What's so bad about a neder that she took in public? So Rashi said yesterday, we're going to say now, that that's called, where's the Rashi? Rashi says that it's a nadr bifnei rabim is ein lo hafara. You can't be made for such a neder. And therefore, it's so stringent, it's such a chamur neder, we say that we're koneser that he could never take her back. Dichsiv, where's the source of such a neder birabim that does not have any hafara? As the Pasuk says, and save for Yehoshua, Velohika b'nei Yisrael, ki nishbu lohem nesiyeho edas. We know after b'nei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, they were going and traveling, and they were about to conquer the 31 kings in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a certain little group of people, the Givonim, at that time they were called the Givonim, and they, using subterfuge, using a trickery, they pretended to be a nation from far away, not a nation from Eretz Yisrael, and they got Klal Yisrael to agree to a treaty not to wipe them out. And then, lo and behold, it came out that they were from the Zion Hamamin, but the Navi describes Yehoshua and all the nation kept their part of the deal, even though it was a trick. Even though it was under false pretenses, still Klal Yisrael did not violate. All the Rishonim discussed there, wasn't it a trick? Wasn't it a trick? Why couldn't they violate? So the Gemara discusses part of it. The Gemara Gittin, see on the side, Mevavim and Aleph. Part of it is because it was a neder berabim. The Nesiyei HaEda on behalf of Klal Yisrael made a neder. We're gonna have a treaty with you, and that's what the Gemara quotes here. That's an example of a neder berabim, and therefore it cannot be violated. The Kama Rabim, how much is Rabim? Rabbi Nachman Bar Yisrael Gomar Shlosha. Three, you don't need ten, even three. Yomim, Rabim Shlosha. So where's this drasha coming from? So the Gemara doesn't quote it. It's a pasuk by Zava. By Zava it says if she has Ziva, if she has a flow, Yomim Rabim. So what's a Zava Gadola? So Yomim is two, that's a little Zava Gadola, but Rabim is three. That Zava Gadola is really 3 days, seeing three in a row. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Asara, Eidak Sibahu. Rabbi Yitzchak said, no, it has to be in front of ten, because it says the word Eda in the pasuk that was quoted. Either way, that was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which really is not our issue. That's not why we brought the Mishnah Gittin down. We brought the Mishnah Gittin down for the following two opinions. But just that way, that's how it came up. There's an interesting tshuva of the Radvaz. The Radvaz in Chelak Aleph Simin Yurches. Aleph Yurches. He was asked, let's say I send some, Reuven sends Shimon to do something for him. You know, he sends Shimon to buy him something, to do some type of business for him. And Shimon swears on behalf of Reuven. Reuven didn't tell him. Shimon says, I'm going to do this to you, and I swear I'm going to do it to you, and if Reuven doesn't come through, is Shimon's vow binding on Reuven? Is Shimon allowed to make a shvua that's binding on the Mishaleach? That's the shiloh that the Radvaz dealt with. Im yuchal ha-shliach l'kayim iser u'shvua lasus devar ploni play mishalcho. I promise I'm going to sell this to you by the end of the month. But he's just the shliach. Reuven didn't tell him to take such a shvua. Is that shvua binding? Reuven didn't take the shvua. Interesting question. Or do you say no? Do you say shluch shalom kamoso? Or do you say no? Dilma lo mechayev kivich lahotia mishlech shvua mipiv v'lo yibelibo. So said the Radvaz tshuva. If he was mitzave him beferish to make a shvua, then sure, the shvua could go back on the mishaleach. That's not an issue. But what if he didn't? So he says, the Radvaz, I'm not sure. So Radvaz says, you know what? The givonim. What happened by the givonim? All of Chai Yisrael didn't make the shvua. It was only the Nisiei Ha'eda. The Nisiei Ha'eda made the shvua on behalf of Chai Yisrael, and all of Chai Yisrael had to keep the shvua. Haraya, that a shliach shvua could be binding on behalf of the mishaleach. Yisrael lo ayu chafetza. Bnei Yisrael didn't want to keep that. They were upset. Right? The Bnei Yisrael, if you look at the Navi, they were upset. How could you make such a treaty? Why don't you check it out? Why don't you investigate? El Rebnei, Yisrael, Nisiyahidah, Shem Kishluchim. That's why they didn't kill him. Ah, you want to tell me there's a different reason? There's a Chil Hashem aspect over there? Maybe there's a Chil Hashem aspect? All the nation of Klal Yisrael. And that's why they didn't do it. Either way, there wouldn't be a Chal Hashem aspect if it wasn't binding. They would say, it's not a Chal Hashem, that's not binding upon us. Vesu, and he says, if it's not Chal, right, there wouldn't be Chal Hashem. Doesn't sound that way from the Psukim, and therefore, I think that it is binding. He says, I don't think you'd get Malkus for it, because you wouldn't be called an Avarian, but Bezin would be Kofet to try to get you to keep the Tanai. Either way, that's the Revaz's issue. Can a Shliach make a Shvua for a Mishaleach? It relates to the issue of how close the Shlichus issue is. That is the Revaz. Yeah.
But
with
that case with the Nesiei acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, is that the same as a
Shliach
of Klal Yisrael,
or
was that then?
Right. Are the Nesiei Ha'eda acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael? So we did have the Gemara in Kiddushin, the second daf of the second parak in Kiddushin, which talks about the Nesiei Ha'eda in terms of being manchil the lands to the Shvatim. So were they a Shliach or an Aputrapis or a Zechiah? The Gemara has all three possibilities. Baskana was Aputrapis. But that's, so I don't know if this is that same issue. There it's in terms of the Hanchala. But here it's in terms of the Shvua itself. But you're right, it might be different because it's not a regular Shliach.
Someone's got to make decisions for the nation.
But the question is, are Shvua's binding? Shvua might be something personal. You know, you can make decisions for the nation, that's fine. But in terms of the Isser of a Shvua and the Lo Yachal Dvaro, all of those Isserim, would that apply if a Shliach for a Mishaleach? Either way, that was explaining Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. But now the Gemara gets into the Shitas that we discussed yesterday, why the Gemara brought this in. Rabbi Meir Omer, what was Rabbi Meir's opinion when a man divorces his wife? Rabbi Meir had held that if a man divorces his wife based on a neder, that she would have to go to a chacham to get hutar, so then he's not allowed to take her back. That's the Issur Rabbanan. Rabbi Lazar Omer, lo asur tzarech lel b'nei she'eino tzarech. And we quote Rabbi Lazar Shita, who says, no, a case of tzarech akiras kacham, that really, me'ikar adin, he should be able to take her back. The real issue is the case of eino tzarech, in a case where he would be able to be matir it himself. That's the case that Chazal said he's not allowed to take her back. But my kamiflagi, so what was the root of this machlokes? We mentioned this outside yesterday. This follows. Rabbi Meir says, Adam rotzeh she'tispazeh ishtu bevezdin. A man would want or would not care if his wife has to be a little embarrassed, disgraced in Beis Din. And therefore, if a man divorces his wife because she has a neder, we're worried that in a year from now, after she gets the neder removed by the chacham, he's going to say, you got it removed? If I knew you were going to get it removed, I wouldn't have wanted to divorce you in the first place. And he'd be mosi laz on the divorce, and any children that she has for the new marriage will be mamzerim. There'll be big issues here. So that's why Rabbi Meir says, if you're going to divorce your wife, if it's based on a neder that she's going to have to go to court, so then you're never allowed to take her back. So you can't cause problems. Because Rabbi Meir holds, the man's not going to care if his wife has to go to Beis Din. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Elazar Sofer Ein Adam Rotzeh Mispazeh of Bezdin. Rabbi says, no, a man would not want his wife to be Mispazeh of Bezdin, and therefore we don't have to worry about his causing a ruckus that, oh, if I would have known that you would go to Bezdin. Because he can't say that. Because we have an umdana that he's not interested in that. So the only issue, according to Rabbi Elazar, is a case where he could be matir himself. Right? Because there, maybe he'll say, I didn't realize that I have this power of Afaras Adarim. I didn't realize it. I didn't learn Masechet Nedarim yet. I'm only in Ksubis, right? I didn't get to the Daf Yomi yet. I don't know about Afaras Nedarim. So therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, the assumption of Rabbi Elazar's Shita is about Ein Adam Roser Nesvaz Rishon Bebezdin. So that was answer number one to the Stira. Again, what was the question yesterday? The question yesterday was, we have two brises. One that says, if a woman gets her Nedarim removed after marriage, so then Lama Freya, it's as if she didn't have it at the time of marriage, and Mikudeshes. And the other brise says not. So what's the answer to the Stira? Answer number one was Machlokes Tanaim. Now we're up to answer number two. Rava Amar Hacha B'Isha Chashuva Askinan. No, there's a difference here. The case here where we say Eina Mukudeshes is a case of a Chashuv woman. What does that mean, a Chashuv woman? She comes from a very Chashuv family. The Amar, because in that case, again, the case is a man makes a gets married on condition that she has no Nedarim. And we find out that she has a Neder. So in that case, the Braisa says she's not married. Why? Because Rashi adds in, he doesn't want to be married to this woman because she's a Nadranis. He doesn't want to have to give her a get either, though. You know why? You know what? If he gives her a get, then he's usher to her whole family. Usher to all her krovim. Her mother, her sister. I don't want to cut off my possibilities. This is a great family. So I don't want to be married to this woman, but maybe her sister is going to want to marry. So I don't want to have to give her a get either. So I don't want to be married to her. I don't want to give her a get. So that's the case where our umdana is, that he doesn't want any of this marriage. And therefore, Eina Mekudeshes. That's the case of Eina Mekudeshes. The other case that says Mekudeshes, that's the case of a regular woman. So he's not going to care if he's going to have to give her a get. Ihachi, if that is true, that the issue is an Isha Chashuva, so Seifa Tiktani, but we never had the Seifa. If you look at the Seifa of that Brisa, the following parallel cases said, Abel Husha Halachetzel Chacham Eitiru, let's say the man had Nidarim. I marry you on condition that I have no Nidarim on me. And he ended up having Nidarim. So what's the halacha in that case? And then afterwards he goes to the chacham and gets it hutar. It's a rofi briposa, or he goes to the doctor and gets a refuah mukudeshes. So in that case, that sefer says mukudeshes. But what do you mean? If this issue in the Bryce is a case of a chash of people, so then list the Eidim Kudeshes. So even in the Seifa, if he comes from a chash of family, we should say the halacha is Eidim Kudeshes. Why? The same svar should be said. She should say, I don't want to get a divorce from this man, because then his whole family is off limits to me. So why isn't it parallel? If in the Reisha of the Braisa, we just explained that it's talking about a case of a chash of woman, and therefore we say it's Eina Mekudeshes because he doesn't want to cut off the possibilities of marrying this woman's family by giving her a get, so too in the Seifa, why don't we say that? Answers the Gemara, Ihi b'chodhu nichala. Now, there's a difference between a man and a woman. A woman is much more open-minded and flexible in terms of who she's going to marry. She'd rather just want to be married. As we've had this principle in the past, Kidder Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish says, Dom Reish Lakish, Tavla Mesav Tendu, Mila Mesav Armalo. A woman, it's better for a woman to be Tendu, two bodies. Literally, she wants to be married but rather than being alone. It's harder for a woman to be single than for a man to be single, and therefore, even though if it's an Adam Chashuv, so she'll be married to him. So he's a Nadran. Okay, he's a Nadran. She'll live with it a little bit. She's more flexible in terms of her tolerance level in the marriage. So that's the second answer. Abaya Amar, Jacoba Moragadita, is about a woman being happy with who she's married to. To Shum Shimana Gavra, if a woman has a husband who's literally an ant, the size of an ant, very short. Kursei Becharasa, her chair. Her kise, becharasa, amongst the nobility, Ramila, she sits. I mean, she's unembarrassed. She's very happy to be in public with her husband. Rav Papa Amar, de nafsa gavra, a woman whose husband is a nafsa, Rashi says, he combs wool, which is a very lowly type of profession. Tikre besipe baba, she'll still call him by the doorway, but and she'll sit there with him, meaning no problem, she's very proud of her husband. Ravashi Amar, de kulsa gavra, if a husband doesn't have a good pure lineage, lo bay tilfchid lechidra, still, she won't even need lentils for her pot. She's very self-sufficient as long as she has any type of husband, even if he's not the greatest one. Tana, the Gemara adds on at the end, maybe this isn't such so hunky-dory after all. The kulan mezanis v'tolos v'balei. In all these cases, she doesn't complain about it. She wants to have the husband, but you know what? In the behind the scenes, she goes as mezana and says, I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm married. This baby is from my husband. So she's not totally perfectly happy with the marriage. You know, this might just be a cover for her to be able to have illicit relationships. Okay, either way, though, that the principle is Tavla Mesav Tendu.
That Braisa goes against that principle.
That Braisa goes against the earlier principle, correct. Seems to go against the earlier principle. Okay, period. Kol Mumisha Postlin. Next halacha. The Mishnah had said that any mumin that passel by Kohanim, the list in Meseches Bechoros, passel by women as well. Any mumin that passels a Kohen from doing the Avoda, passels a woman in the case where he makes a condition that she does not have mumin. So Tana, Hosifu Aleyen, Zeya Vishuma Vareach HaPeh. Chazal added on three mumin that passel by a woman that don't passel by a Kohen. Three extra ones by a woman. Which? What are they? Zeya, a woman who perspires immensely and constantly. Shuma, she has a type of mole, a type of wart somewhere on her. The Reach HaPeh, and she has extremely bad breath. Those three cases, a Kohen is allowed to do the Avoda with those, but a woman, if a woman is married and the man make the condition on condition that you don't have any mumin, these are grounds for divorce or a lack of marriage itself. Vahani v'koni v'pasli, ask the Gemara, what do you mean? A Kohen, these don't passel by a Kohen? V'hatzanad, but we learned it b'choros over there, in the Mishnayos. By animals, by mumin of animals, hazakein, if an animal is extremely old, v'hachola, or sick, v'hamizuham, that's the one for us. Mizuham. Right now we think Mizuham is Zeya. We identify those together. So you see by the animal, a Mizuham, an animal that consistently sweats, we think it's the same thing now, is Pasul for the Mizbeach. Vitzana, we learned there, Mumin Elu, Bin Kvu, and Bin Ovin, Psulim Ba'adam. Those are also Pasuls by an Adam, by a Kohen. So you see, Schwitzing, not just Stam Schwitzing, but an extra, somebody who is a constant Mizuham, Zeya person, so that's Pasul by Kohenim too. So what do you mean you added them on by a woman? They're Pasul by both. Some Rav Yossi, two answers to the Gemara. Number one, Rav Yossi, Bechanina, Lokasha, Kan Bezeya Overis, Kan Bezeya She'en Overis. No, it depends if it is something that is consistent every single moment of their lives, or you have some type of chronic condition, but it's not every second of the day. So when it's a chronic condition, somebody has a chronic back pain, doesn't mean they have it every second, but it always comes back. So in that type of case, that's not possible by Kohanim. That's the one that was added on. If it's always there every second, if it's Eina Overes, so that's possible by Kohanim and also by women. What did Chazal add on? A case that is chronic, but not constant, not every second of the day. That was added on. Number one. If the man has them, it also might be. Do you say Tavlo Mesav, that it's more flexible? But there are cases that if the man has movement also, we say that also it's not a marriage. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, no, this is Zeya, Mizuham Karamis. Don't compare Zeha and Mizuham. What's Mizuham that's possibly even by Kohanim? Rashi explains that's an odor of the body. Right? Mizuham is the whole body is involved. That's what Rashi says. Mizuham Gufo Masriach. His whole body has an odor. That's what passels by everything. Zeya is just a perspiring individual. So Hasam, Gabi Kohanim. So by Kohanim, these three are not passels. Zeya, Shuma, and Reach HaPeh. Why? By Kohanim, Efshar Lav Rebekiyot HaChamra. A Kohen could rub himself in wine vinegar, and in that way get rid of the odor for a little while he goes and does the Avoda. And also by Reach HaPeh, Efshar Denaket Pilpul of Apume. For Avod Avoda. He'll put a piece of pepper in his mouth, and he'll get rid of his bad breath for a few minutes while he goes to do the Avoda. Or he'll take a piece of mint gum, to put it in our day and age. He'll scope right before he does the Avoda, and then he'll be able to do it. So by a Kohen, those aren't going to passel, because those can be gotten rid of in a temporary way. By a woman, Rashi says, you're constantly talking to your wife. What, she's constantly going to have this pepper in her mouth? So if it's impossible, that's why they apostled it by a woman. The Chazon Ish in Bechoros, the galus of the Chazon Ish was that his volume on Kachim and Taurus is just as fat as on Aruch Chaim and on Choshen Mishpat and on Eben Ezer. Look at the Chazon Ish, it's unbelievable. Anyways, the Chazon Ish in Bechoros, in Simen Chavav, is just Meir. Interesting, it's not a mum because you can get rid of it temporarily. I would say the Kohen doing the he has if it, it's a mum Reach HaPeh, meaning if he doesn't do anything, he's possible to do the avoda. The Gemara seems to say, and yet if he puts the scope in his mouth, so then it's got rid of. So that's not a mum. If you can get rid of it and it's going to come back in 10 minutes, it's not a mum. He says that's what you see from here. Hareza b'chal kol mumin. No, he says venira. It must be since it's biyado to get rid of it. It's not included in mumin. Shari inon menu in me avoda. This will never prevent you from doing the avoda. If that's true, then it must be it's not a mum. Even though objectively it is a mum. He said, that's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. He's mayor that's a chiddush, even though you can get rid of it. But there is, yeah.
Even if he doesn't get rid of it?
No. Now, like, if he doesn't get rid of it, it's not in the category of a mum, because you could always get rid of it. But if you don't get rid of it, lechore, it would be a mum. But I don't know, does it turn into a mum then? Right, that's his chiddush. That's his chiddush. Because if you don't get rid of it, shouldn't it be a mum?
Oh, so why do you say
Kol Arayla Bila? Kol Arayla Bila and Bila Makepes. If you can get rid of it, you know, so then, you know, maybe it's not Makin to get rid of it. You only say that by in certain cases. By Matirim, by Tefillah, by, you say it by Mitzvahs too. But you're right, interesting. Maybe call, I'm sure somebody asked that. Kol Arayla Bila. But there is another issue here. What does it say here? The Kohen can do the Avodah by putting a piece of pepper in his mouth. Anything strike you interesting about that? There is an Issa Daraisa called Hava As Chulin La Azara. You can't bring a chulin into the azara. So what do you mean? You're allowed to have gum in your mouth when you're allowed to have pepper in your mouth when you go into the azara. Havas chulin azara. Your cat. Sorry. When you say Shem Hashem, you can't have anything in your mouth. Okay, but he's not going to talk. He's just doing the avoda. But it is an issue of havas chulin azara. Answer Yosef Engel here in the Gilyoni Hashas without answering it. Ech efshar lo linkot pilpul ebishas avoda. Ha'asur lahakos chulin bazara. Doesn't answer it. Doesn't answer it. How can you? He quotes two other cases where you had this kasha. So what's the answer?
Because it's not meat.
So it's not. Oh, so what? So one, yeah, Chaim. So one answer is maybe the Gemara means you do it right beforehand. Just means you put the. What's the language of the Gemara? Nokat pilpula bipume v'avet avoda. Doesn't really fit in so well with that. But maybe it just means you put a piece of pepper in your mouth, then you spit it out before you go in, and then you do the avoda. So that's one answer, even though it doesn't fit in so well into the Gemara. But the other answer is you're alluding to Ma'achim. You're alluding to a Shitas Rambam, which you're not even. Oh, there's a major machlokas rishonim by the Isra of Havas Chulin La'Azara. What's included in the Isser? Anything? Let's say I bring a chair into the Azara. Is that an Isser of Avas Chulin La'Azara? Or do we say that the Isser of Avas Chulin La'Azara is only by something that is ra'ui to be brought into the Azara as a carbon, and I bring in chulin of that item? That's an Isser of Avas Chulin La'Azara. That's a major machlokas we show in him. The big source of this, you want to look it up, you can spend all day on it, there's a Mishnah L'Melech, a five-page Mishnah L'Melech. In Hilchah Shechita, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. The Rambam there says, this is Avos Chulin Lazara, and listen to the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, V'lo behema v'chaya bilvad, not only by animals is there Isra of Avos Chulin, Ela kol ha-chulin, Osir lachnisim lazara, all chulin. So far it sounds like the Rambam is all inclusive. Afilu basar shchuta, o peros v'pas. Even shechten meat, or fruits, or bread. If you brought it in, it's asr, even though it doesn't asr the food. So the Mishnah Malach here quotes this major machlokas Rishonim, where the Balei Tosfos and the Rashba say it includes only Dvarim that can be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Rambam seems to say anything, because he says anything, even bread, even fruits. But then the Nosei Kelim, it's Beis Gimel in Shechita, but what might the Nosei Kelim say, it's not so clear in the Rambam. Why? Because what are these examples that he gives? Bread and fruit. So bread might be Karbanas Mincha. Right, a carbon toda even, and Nazir has bread. Fruit, Bikurim. So why does the Rambam give those examples specifically? Why doesn't the Rambam say a table? You know, why did he say total chulin items? So it's not 100% clear what the sheet of the Rambam is, but either way, it's this big, big fat Mishnah L'Melech here that discusses it. That's another answer, because pepper. So maybe that's an answer. There's no Isra of us chulin Azara in this case, because maybe this Gemara is assuming like those Rishon. Okay, let's continue. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quoted before, that Shuma, a mole, is a mum that would be a problem. So that was added on by women more than by Kohanim. So Echidamia. So what kind of mole are we talking about? Edis, Beisayar, if it's a mole that has hair coming out of it, Hakavaka Pasla. So that's Pasla for everybody, even by Kohanim. Edilois, Beisayar, if it has no hair in it, then it depends. Ishuma Gadolahi, Hakavaka Pasla. If it's a big one, then it's Pasla by both. Ishuma Katanahi, Hakavaka Lo Pasla. If it's a small one, it doesn't Pasla by either. Titania, as the Brisa says. Shuma sheish basay, or a mole that has hair coming out of it. Hariz emum, that's a mum, totally. Ain basay, if it has no hair, gadola hariz emum, tana ain zemum, big and small. Vezo gadola pierce shungam liaki, isar hitalki, like an Italian isar, meaning me manavshach. When is there a case that there's a difference between kohanim and nashim? The Gemara answers, amr vezbar chanino bo medes al padachta. If it's a small one, so really it shouldn't be a mum, but it's on her forehead. It's on her forehead, then that's a mum. That's a mum, even though it's small. Says the Gemara, Padachta, Rabban Ephaiusus. What do you mean? It's a mum, and therefore the marriage is not a marriage? He obviously saw it. He obviously saw it. The Gemara in the beginning of the second paragraph of Kedushin. You're not allowed to marry somebody before you see them. Right? Even if you want to say the most radical, drachim of shiduchim in our religion. You have to see her once. See her once, the Gemara says, also like Chadu Hashirena. So he must have seen it and not cared about it. So why should we say that breaks up the marriage? So Amar Papa, but Omedes Latachas Kibal Sharosha. No, it was on her forehead, but a little up. So when she wears something on her head, you know, sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not visible. So there's no raya that he saw it, V'zimne demiskazia, v'zimne delo miskazia. Sometimes it's visible, sometimes not, and therefore there's no raya that he knew about it, so therefore that's a mum that could uproot the marriage. Says the Ritva, mikan shaminan. You know what you see from here? Same thing in the case of mechira. Let's say you buy something from your friend. Let's say you buy an animal. Let's say you buy a chair. You buy anything. And there's a mum on that object or that animal that sometimes is visible, sometimes is not visible. So can the seller say, hey, you saw it. Tough luck on you. The Ritva says, you see from our Gemara or not. You see from our Gemara, if it's sometimes visible and sometimes not, the buyer could say, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. I'm sorry. What? It was a broken leg on the chair? I didn't see it. It's not always visible. Sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not. So he says, that's what you learn from here. You could say, Shiva Shamum, since the mum is here and it's not always visible, you see from here that the Lokea Kitaina, I did not see it. Amar Rav Chisda, Hamilsa, Migav Rav Shamile, Yaman Rav Shila, I heard the following from a great man, Rav Shila. Nashcha Kelavanasa Makomot Salek, that's a raise of mum. The woman got a dog bite and there was a scab and a scar that came out from the dog bite. That is a mum. That is called a mum because a woman would not he wouldn't want to be married to a woman who has this such a scar. Amar of Chizda, kol ave beisha harei ze mum. A thick voice. What exactly does that mean? Some type of a deep voice, a thick voice harei ze mum. That's a mum. Supposed to talk about it. It must be some kind of biting, jarring, grating voice. Harei ze mum, that's a mum. Shenemar ki kolecha reiv amarech naveh. Right, as your voice is sweet, amarech naveh. Same pasuk that's quoted in Brachas Chavdalet about kolisha. How do you know kolisha is an erva? Same pasuk. Ki kolecha reiv, a woman's voice. Ki kolecha reiv amarech naveh. Period. Okay, so that also is a mum. Aye. Didn't he speak to her before he got married? Right, why don't you say that he was, shama v'nefayes? Right, he didn't speak to her? Maybe he just saw a picture of her. Right, the Gemara in Kedusha says you only have to see her. You don't have to hear her. Kasha. Tani Rav Nasan Beira. Okay, other lists of mumin, other physical deformities on the woman's body. Bein dadi isha tefach. Rav Nasan said the following statement. If there is a tefach between the dadin, between the breasts of a woman, a tefach, so that is something. Savar Rav Acha b'Rav Takami d'Rav Ashi lo meimar tefach l'mal yusa. So they thought that this was something good. Amar le Rav Ashi, no, gabi mumin tani. No, that's a mum. The kama, so kama, what is kama? How much is noi, Rashi says, Amar Abaye Shalosh Esbos, 3 fingers length. So ask the Mepharshim in the back, the Maram Shif, L'may Nafkamina, what do you mean, if a kama, what's a noi? So some Mepharshim say, oh, if you're Mekadish a woman, a condition that she's noi. You know, every Nafkamina in the book, you could say, you know, L'may Nafkamina, Hariyam Kadeshusli on condition that the Shor went on Harsina, I got Skila. You know, everything in the book, you can have that nafkamina. Either way, that's what the suggestion is here. Tanya, Rav Nasan Omer, kol isha shedadeh gatz mishal chavar seh hari zemum. Rav Nasan said, if a woman is, one dad is gatzin mishal chavar seh. Machlokas here, Rashi, Rambam, whether this means one more than the other in the same woman, or unusually larger than her friend. So that's a mum also. Vakama, Omer, maishiv redir avashi, ben levi, mishedir av yeshua, ben levi, tefach, a tefach larger. That are larger than the other one, or than her friend. Umika ki agavna, is there such a thing? In, is there such a difference in relative terms that one woman would have more than the other? Yes. Damar Rabbi Chana said, Ani reisi aravi achas, I saw one Arabian woman, shivshila dadeh achori hinikes benah, that was able to bring her dad to her back and nurse her baby. So that's what he saw. Okay, period. Yep, the Shabbat said by Lacha, by the way, just asks, what do you mean he saw this, what was he looking at an Arabian woman for? Ra Saravia. That he was just amazed that there's still an Isser of Histaklus. So the Shem Tzim Halacha notes what we've mentioned a number of times in the past. There's a difference between what we would say in English, glancing, seeing, and gazing. Very different between the three of them. In Hebrew, there's a Re'ia and there's Histaklus. Re'ia means glancing. You know, you have to walk around in the world. So sometimes you see things. You don't stare at it. You don't gaze at it. But in many cases, we see that there's an issue here. And obviously, here was just a re'iyah. He wasn't mistakel on it. Right? The Gemara, he quotes many, many sources. The Gemara says you can't be a mistakel b'keshes. So it's a negative thing if you're mistakel b'keshes at a rainbow. You got to make a bracha on the keshes. So the difference between histaklus and re'iyah. What about, he doesn't quote this one, but in Hilkas Nida, in Kuf Tzad K, where we quoted this. What does the Gemara say? Lo yistakel afilu ba'akeva. A man is not allowed to be mistakel at Isha Nida, any covered parts of her body, histaklus, He's stockless. So many poskim say, what does that mean, that re'iyah, that if a woman gets undressed, but Pshat says she's a nida, that she has to go into the bathroom? And no, so many poskim say that no, it just means there can't be any stockless. Re'iyah is different. Re'iyah is for a second, but stockless is where there is an isser. And he quotes this for many cases. What about Eidei Kiddushin? Right, the Gemara says you're not allowed to be mistakel at the pinky of a woman, L'shem Hana. What about Eidei Kiddushin? The man puts the ring on her finger. I mean, because that's just like, if they're not washing, they're not married. So again, there's a difference between histakless and re'iyah. You can't compare. Many other examples here quoted, you can look it up in the Sha'ar Misyanim, Bahalacha, the different levels of histakless and re'iyah. Okay, here we go. Once we quoted one thing from Rav Meisha, we quote the next thing. Famous Haggadah. L'tzion yamar ish v'ish yulad ba v'huchana eldion. It says in the future about Sion, a man and a man, yulad ba. Then Hashem's going to bring the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? Ish v'ish yulad ba. Amar Rav Meisha Bar, Breder of Yeshua ben Levi, Echad hanola ba v'echad mesapah l'rosa. What does ish mean? Whether you were born in Sion, or whether you yearn to see Sion. Whether you're in Israel, or whether you yearn to be in Israel, you are both called B'nai Sion, says Rav Meisha. The Marsha says this is unique, because usually things go in past tense. Let's say you're an American and you move to, some African country. You'll always be known as an American. Wherever you live, if you have an American, you move to Israel, you'll always be known as an American. Always be known as an American. But when it comes to the spiritual of Tzion, it's future-based. If you yearn for something to be there, you yearn for Tzion, you yearn for Kibbutz Goliath, then you're called that. You're a B'nai Tzion. It's the opposite of normal countries where you come from. And the Yalkut Gershuni even adds, Yalkut Gershuni says, Yadua, Shikaladam Ishla Gagulam Makam Shinolodba. We always have yearnings for where we grew up in. Wherever we grew up, if we hear something happened in our hometown, it brings a certain feeling out. Oh yeah, I grew up there. There was a fire, Rahman al Islan. If you hear it about some other town that you don't know anything about, you feel bad, but it's not the same. It's not the same. When's Mashiach gonna come? But who you chun elyon? When we have the same feelings about Eretz Yisrael and about Yerushalayim, about our hometown. Our hometown, we have these personal first feelings. When we have those same feelings about Sion, v'hu yichonin elyon. Says the Yalkut Gershuni, that's when Mashiach is going to come. Shneim yivku v'yisabu acherbana ki'ilu yulduba oz yirachim Hashem al Sion v'hu yichonin elyon. That's the Yalkut Gershuni. What do you see from here? That machshava, your thoughts are machriya on your position. Right now, you're considered a B'nai Tzion, depending on what you're thinking about. So I cannot mention it. Parshas HaShavua. Parsha Shavua, what does it say at the end of this week's Parsha? At the end of this week's Parsha, it says that Yaakov Avinu was coming back from Laban. He was still by Laban. He didn't get back to Eretz Yisrael yet. And already the Malachim are coming down. The Malachim, what does it say? Machanayim, the end of the Parsha. But the Malachim Eretz Yisrael are here. He's still in Chutz Laretz. Why are the Malachim Eretz Yisrael here? So the Marshal answers, doesn't answer yet, but we'll ask the other question. This is what we always talk about, this, for Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman, Yom Kippur night, Kol Nidre, right? We just stuffed our faces. We're still full from the Suda Samafsekes. 10 minutes later, the rabbi spoke for a few minutes. Okay, but what happens? We say Shema Baruch Shem. We scream out Baruch Shem Kavod. We're like Malachim. 25 hours later, we've been in shul all day. We're spiritual. We've taken upon ourselves so much. We're going to do this year. 25 hours in shul. Myriv, we say Baruch Shem quietly. You should say Baruch Shem quietly when Yom Kippur starts. After Yom Kippur, you should scream it out. Then you're like Malachim. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, no. The Maharal says, where you are in life, your position is based on your direction, is based on what you're thinking about. Yom Kippur night, we just had the Suda Mafsekas, but what are we thinking about? Our Kavanas are on Yom Kippur. So we're like Malachim right now. We can say, scream out Baruch Shem. 25 hours later, we've had Yom Kippur for 25 hours, but what's on our mind? What are we going to break our fast on? I'm hungry, I want to get out of here already. It's been a long day. So our Kavana determines where we are right now. That's what the Maharal says. Yaakov Avinu is on his way back to Eretz Yisrael. The Malachim already come down. Because he has Kavana. He has Kavana to get back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gur Aryeh, the end of the sixth parasha. So it's the same exact thing here. L'tzioni echad habav echad mitzapa l'rosa. If you're mitzapa l'rosa, you also have that status. Fine. Amar Abaya. Abaya adds on. V'chad minai hu adav k'tre minan. Abaya says, though, one of the B'nai Eretz Yisrael is greater than two of us Babylonians. Mm-hmm. One of them is greater than two of us. Let's just finish. Amar Rava, v'chad minan, but one of us, says Rava, a Babylonian, ki salak lahasam adav k'shem minayu. But if somebody from a B'nai Bavel goes to Eretz Yisrael, then he becomes better than two B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So a B'nai Eretz Yisrael is greater than two Babylonians, but then once a Babylonian, once a Bnei Babel goes to Eretz Yisrael, he's better than two of them. How do you know that? To Rabbi Yirmiyah. To Chiyavi Hach, Allah, the other my Kami Rabbanan. When Rabbi Yirmiyah was here in Babel, he couldn't understand the Shira at all. He had no idea what the Rabbanan were talking about. He saw Glahasa when he went to Eretz Yisrael. Kari Lam Bavoy Tapshoy. He looked back on us and he called us Tipshin. He called us that, so you see, Rabbi Yirmiyah, look what came of him. Says the Ritva. The Ritva, one of the Rishonim. Why is one Bnei Eretz Yisrael greater than two Babylonians? Pirish Avira Machimle. Avira de Eretz Yisrael is Machim, makes one wise. Vizoche Babi Yeshivasa. And you're Zoche Yeshivasa. And that's why Abaya says, when you leave, you become better. Why? Lefisha Yatza Mitumas Eretz Hagoyim V'nichnas Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. V'gam, and then the Ritva adds, interesting, which is what we see today even. V'gam ki k'sha'adam lo med chutzlam komo, koveya tamudo yoser, u'matzliach l'fisheinu mizbatel. What's the makar in Shas and Poskim for people changing in Israel? For people growing in Israel? This Ritva right here. Because what did the Ritva say? Why does a ben chutzlaretz become better? Not stam, he says his second shot, is that because when you leave your surroundings, when you leave the makam that you're used to with all your yetzaharas and all your, and you leave everything, you just go koveya tamudo, then you achieve great heights. That's the Ritva. When you go chutzlam komo, you're koveya tamudo yoser matzliach, lefisheinu mizbatel. That's the Ritva. That's why one from here is greater than two from there. Says the Ben Yehoyada. Says the Ben Yehoyada. Why the ratio? What to two? Where does that come from? Says the Ben Yehoyada. You're not going to forget this one. Why one to two? Because you see that in Eretz Yisrael they have one day Yantif, and in Chutzlars they have 2 days of Yantif. So you see that in Eretz Yisrael you could achieve Shleimus in just one day. And it takes double the time, says the Ben Yehoyada, if you're in Chutzlars. The Arizal says that by Yisroel Chag also, not for now. But anyway, says the Ben Yehoyada, he says that's the pshat. But if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you're half of an Eretz Yisrael. But when you go there, you become double of an Eretz Yisrael. So really, you went up times four if you went to Eretz Yisrael. Ebra na, Ebra, switch on the letters is Arba. Ebra na, let me come into the land, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Ben Yehoyada, that's a lush. I want to go there to Yisrael because then I'm going to become P Arba than what I am right now. That's the Ben Yehoyada by. About this issue. Okay, one other ha'ara, and then we'll move on. The hafla. The hafla, the Rebbe, one of the Rebbeim of the Chassam Sofer, says the hafla, why is it that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you become double than the, if you're a Bnei Bavel, and you go there, why? Ki mash'amar she'echad mi Bnei Eretz Yisrael, hu kishnayim b'chutz la'aretz, machmes geram chet chutz la'aretz. Sitting in chutz la'aretz, like the Rambam used to sign his letters, Moshe ben Maimon, who is violating these number of Averis, we have one letter, the Rambam signed that, who sitting in Mitzrayim and violating every day. So says the Hafla, there's the Chet of Chutz La'aretz, that one is living in, when we're living in Chutz La'aretz. V'hu mima'et ha-seichel, ma'she'en kein, b'nola b'Eretz Yisrael, yishlo tzchus Eretz Yisrael. But Chazal say, mokam shabali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yichol ma'amod bo, mipnei shezdonos nechshavos lahem kizuchuyos. Your Averis turn into mitzvahs. So you have an extra aveira that a Ben Eretz Yisrael never had by sitting in Chutz La'aretz. Then you're going to make Aliyah, you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So your aveira is going to turn into a mitzvah that they don't have. And Bali Tshuva are even higher than Tzadikim Gemurim. Nefach Achev L'Zchuyos, Alkein Adif Kitrei Minayu. Okay, a couple of makoros related to the ratio of 1 to 2, and they're becoming even more. Okay, Masnisus. You have what to say at the Shabbos table, the Shabbos as well. Masnisin, Mishnah. Next Mishnah, still talking about Mumin. Hayba Mumin va'odah bebeis aviya. Let's say Mumin were discovered when she is in, right, he made a Erusin on condition that she has no Mumin. And then lo and behold, while she's still in her father's house, they find the Mumin. And the question is, the father says, these Mumin came. It's a type of mum that wasn't there from birth, the Meiri says. Right, then it's no Shaila. But the father says, this mum came after Erusin, and therefore you still have to pay the ksuba. The husband says, no, this mum was here beforehand, so it's a mekhtos. So if it's still in the father's house, if it's in the father's house, still the father has to bring the raya that it came afterwards. If not, we assume it was always there, and it's a mekhtos, no ksuba is paid. Machlok has shown him whether there's a marriage or not, but at least no ksuba is paid. Nichnas l'rishus habal, but let's say once she went into the husband's rishus, habal tzarach l'arvi rayas. Then it's the opposite. Then the husband has to bring the rayas. She'ash lo nesar sohay b'mumin elu v'hayu mecha mecha tos. Debra b'meir. Once she's in her husband's rishus, then we assume that the mumin came recently, and he would have to bring the raya that the mumin were there before Erison. So this only applies by hidden mumin that he might not have known about. But by mumin that were revealed, then ain't no yochalito, and then he can't have any tainus because he obviously saw them and was mochel. And if there's a public bathhouse in the city, also private mumin, he has no taina about both could be krobosav because he obviously must have checked it out with his relatives because a public bathhouse, you know, it would have been visible to the others, so therefore he wouldn't be able to tie an adult. Period. So what does the Mishnah say according to Rabbi Meir, which the Gemara is going to discuss? If the mum was discovered in the father's house, then the father has to bring the raya. If it's discovered in the husband's house, then the husband has to bring the raya. Says the Gemara, time of the Maisi Av Raya. The only reason, so in the Reisha it says, when do we trust the father only if he brings a raya? Halo Maisi Av Raya, Habal Mehemen. But if the father does not bring a raya, then the mumin were there. Only afterwards the husband would be believed. Mani, who is this going like? Our good friends from the first parak of Ksubis, Rabbi Yeshua hi. Rabbi Yeshua always said, remember the second half of the first parak, that we always trust the husband and not her. Ema Seifa, but the second half of the Bryce is the opposite. Nichlas al Rishus Abal, Habal Tzarek Lavi Raya. If he's ready in the Rishus Abal, the husband has to bring the Raya. Taim of the Maisi Abal Raya. The only reason is because the husband brings the Raya. Halo Maisi Abal Raya, Ha'am Mehemen. So you get different impressions from the Mishnah. Asma Rabbi Gamliel, Darman Emenes. That goes like Rabbi Gamliel, who always said that she's believed. So remember back in the first parak, Rabbi Yeshua always said you trust him because of his Cheskas Mamon. Rabbi Gamliel says you always trust her because of her Cheskas Aguf. We have six Mishnayas related to that. So our Mishnah seems to be assuming like different opinions in the two lines. So Gemara says, first answer, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Tavra, you're right, smash the Mishnah. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, break it in half. You're right, the first half is like one opinion, Rabbi Yeshua, the second half is like the other opinion, Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Rava, Rava says, Rava's not giving a second answer yet. We're going to get to the second answer in six lines from now, Rava Amar. But first, Rava is explaining Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Lo Tema Rabbi Yeshua, Lo Azabasar, Chazaka Gufa Klam. Don't say that Rabbi Yeshua never goes after a Cheskas Aguf. Meaning, what does Rabbi Yeshua say? We trust him. What's him? Cheskas Mamon. He doesn't have to pay the ksuba. The Gemara says, don't say that he rejects the concept of Cheskas Aguf. Ella kilo azar Rabbi Yeshua basa chazaka degufa hekadika chazaka demamona. It's just that he says Cheskas Mamon beats a Cheskas Haguf, which has been ruined. Aval hecha deleka chazaka demamona. But if there is no Cheskas Mamon, also Rabbi Yeshua basa chazaka degufa. He holds to the concept of Cheskas Haguf. Don't think Rabbi Yeshua here is saying across the board, I reject it. The Tanya, because look at the following brisa. It's really a Mishnah in Nega'im. Im baheres kodem l'seir lavan tameh. There's a halacha in Hilchas Tzara'as, that if you have a baheres, a Tzara'as spot with white hairs coming out of it, it could be a negat Tzara'as. So it depends. If the spot came and then white hairs grew in it, tameh, that's a siman of tumah. But if the white hairs grew first, so then it is tahar. Safek, tameh. And if you're not sure which came first, the Tanakhama says tameh. Rabbi Yeshua Omer keha. Rabbi Yeshua says no, keha. Keha literally means weakened, faint. It got weakened. What does that mean? My keha amaraba keha tar. Rabbi Yeshua is really saying keha is tahar. Meaning if it got weakened, so then, and you're, meaning it's, if it, you're not sure if it's a safek, Rabbi Yeshua holds tahar. Why? Because she has a cheskas aguf. She wasn't born with these spots. So therefore, so you assume the hair came first, and it is a tar. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua holds up the concept of cheskas haguf, period. Rav, that's one answer to the Mishnah. How could it, again, the Mishnah assumes in the first line seems to go like Rabbi Yeshua, and the second line seems to go like Rabbi Gamliel. So what's the answer? The answer is, you're right, split the Mishnah. Second answer, Rav Amar, here we go. Not new topic, a big yesod. Reisha kanimsu v'kanhoyu, seifanami kanimsu v'kanhoyu. We come to a new principle. When you find something, says Rava, we assume that it was here at the beginning of the time that it got here. In other words, if you find a mum in the house of the father, we assume this mum was always there from a long time ago in the house of the father. So that's why the father has to prove that it was only here after Erison. If you find it in the house of the husband, so we assume it started right when it came into the rishus of the husband. Meaning, after Erison, when it came into the rishus of the husband. This principle of kan nimsu, kan hayu. Here it was found, it must be that here, right at the beginning of its being here, it started. So Esvi Abaya, is that really true? We're going to talk more about it tomorrow, what the svar for is, kan nimsu v'kan hayu. I mean, there's a principle of ein machzikin mi makom lamakom. You know, you can't change chazakas from place to place. So if it's here, so you assume it was here. From the second, there's no reason to assume that it started, something new happens, you assume right when it came here. But we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Hopefully we'll talk about the Shev Shmaitza and others. Eis ve'abaya. So we're going to start a question today, which we'll have to answer to continue tomorrow, because it continues. But at least the question. Eis ve'abaya. Nichras alurshus abal habal tzarech lahavi raya sha'ashlo tis'aris. Hayu bamumun elu. Vahayu mecha mechatos. Abaya quotes a brisa that if the mum was found in the rishus of the husband has to bring proof that it was there before erisin. So the Gemara is medayik. Ad shlo tis'aris in, mishit tis'aris lo. So the brisa seems to say that he only has to bring proof that it was there before erisin. But after erisin would not be good enough. If he could bring a raya that it was there after erisin, that wouldn't be good enough. V'yamai. But why not? Lema kanim suvakan hayu. Why can't he at least bring a raya that it was there after erisin, but while she was still in the father's house? And then we'd apply the principle of kanim suvakan hayu, and it would go backwards. He should only have to prove that it was there in the father's house, even if it was after Erisin. Then we use the principle of Kanim Suva Kan Hayu to say it was always there in the father's house. So why isn't that good enough? So Amalei, Mishin is Arsa, Mishin Dikala Meimar, Chazaka Ein Adam Shosa, Bekos Elam Kein Bodko. Vai Robin Efayesu. No, you know why that's not good enough? Because there's a Chazaka that's going against him also. There's a Chazaka that a person checks out his wife before he marries her. For a moment. And if he married her anyway, it must be that he saw the mum and he was mefayes and he wanted to marry her anyway. If that's true, actually this is nami. So what's the difference? Then even if he brings a right that was there before Erisin, he should be married because we should say he saw a tough luck on him. So Elo, we say no, there's a chazaka the other way. Why do you say that he's allowed to bring a raya that it was there before Erisin? Because we could say a person can't have pius by mumin. Maybe he thought he could handle it, but he can't. So achanami chazaka inad mafayis by mumin. So you should say the other way too. Even after Erisin, chazaka inad mafayis by mumin. Question mark. Where are we up to? Just to keep where we're up to, we're in the middle of a question of why should there be a difference? The Braisa said there's a difference that the husband has to bring a raya that the mum was there before Erisin. So we said, why can't he even bring a raya that the mum came after Erisin? That should be enough, as long as she was still in the father's house. And then we deprive the principle of kanin suvakan hayu. What's the difference between before Erisin and after Erisin? Stay tuned. That'll be tomorrow. That's Ella. Hashem, we continue. Hashem, tomorrow, Erev Shabbos. And get into some mumin tomorrow. Chulin. We had some negoim today. Have a good day. Today's shiur was Zecher Nishmas, Brian Dobasser, Moshe Zeff.